Six or seven. All right, last week we began looking at the book of Amos, and I tried to set some of the historical background for that book. I hope that you received some of that. If you weren't here last week, the CD is available. Donna can make you one of those if you'd like to have that. Today we're going to continue to look in the book of Amos. For purposes today, we're going to be looking a lot at the map. This map, by the way, is the map in Jesus' time, but it will suffice for what we're going to do today. Primarily, who did God call Amos to prophesy against? Primarily.
Israel,
which would be the northern kingdom, okay? Did he prophesy against Judah?
Yes.
Yes. Did he prophesy against the other nations? Yes. In this way, we could call Amos the little Isaiah, mm-hmm. if you want to put it that way. I mean, they pretty much prophesy against the exact same thing. If you read Isaiah, which I'm in my daily Bible readings in Isaiah now, and he's prophesying against the exact same nations that Amos did. They are contemporaries, although Isaiah... you'll remember we talked about Amos. Amos was called in a time of Azariah, or what was the king's name that we know him more familiar with?
Uzziah.
Okay, and then we have Isaiah's call in the year that Uzziah died. So they're contemporary. Also along the same line of contemporary prophets, minor prophets would be Hosea. Yeah. With his beautiful bride Gomer, and also a guy who smells a little bit fishy. Okay, Jonah. Yeah. Okay. So those are contemporaries. Okay. Also of Amos. So last week we looked at Amos's call. By the way, what was Amos's occupation? He was a shepherd. He was a sheep herder, okay? And remember, to be a minor prophet does not mean that his message is any less significant than a major prophet. It's just that usually the minor prophets were called for a brief period of time. They spoke their prophecy. We never hear of them again. Not like Isaiah, who prophesied over many, many years, okay? So we looked at his prophecy last week against Damascus. Okay, Damascus would be the capital of what country that we know?
Syria.
Okay, Damascus would be, Damascus all the way up here. Okay, now remember that, and there's Syria. Remember this, there's a difference between the Syrians and the Assyrians, okay? Okay, the capital of the Assyrian country was?
Up north.
Well, but what was the capital city? Remember? Not Damascus. That was Syria. Okay? Anybody? Where did Jonah get sent to?
Oh, Nineveh.
Nineveh. Okay. Nineveh was where Jonah was sent to. Okay? And by the way, God is going to use, and we won't get there today, but I'll just give you this idea. God is going to use the Assyrians to bring his judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel. One of my favorite names in all the Bible. The leader of that is a guy by the name of Sennacherib. You know, if he was a better guy, I might have named my kid Sennacherib because I just like the name. But he wasn't that great of a guy, so I'm not going to do that. Drew would probably kill me if I named him Sennacherib. What do you think? So, So we've looked at the prophecy of these against the Syrians and Damascus, okay? Now we're going to move on, and we'll start at verse 6 today, and we'll look at the next nation that he will judge. This is Gaza. And Gaza, you'll see, is right down here. This is the Mediterranean Sea right here, okay? Egypt would be down here, okay? And right on the bottom part of the Mediterranean Sea is a place that's called Gaza. And today it's called the Gaza Strip. It was the place of the Philistines. The people that David had so much trouble with, Saul had so much trouble with, and by the way, the reason for this being called Palestine, There are no Palestinians. There are no ethnic, nor is there any historical group called the Palestinians. But when Great Britain ruled this whole land, Okay, when they finally left it and signed it over, the head of Great Britain at the time did not care that much for the Jewish people. He did not call it Israel at that time. He thought about what would be the greatest enemy of Israel, and it's the Philistines. And so, in a slap against Israel, he called this land after them. That's why it's called Palestine. On some maps today, this is still, even Israel still called Palestine today. They're not good maps. Okay, and there, by the way, there are no, when someone says they're a Palestinian, there are no ethnic groups called the Palestinians. They simply are not. Most of them are refugees from either down in Saudi Arabia, but most of them from Jordan. And the Jordanians did not want them. And so you have what we know today as the Palestinians. Okay, but there are no such people historically or ethnically as the Palestinians. Okay? So,
to... Israeli,
huh?
So what about if you're an Israeli? I mean, you're saying that eventually became Israel.
Yeah. Well, parts of this become... This, even in this time with Jesus here, this was all Israel. In the time of David, this was all Israel. Okay? What happened was, in AD 70, Rome overthrew Israel. And so from AD 70 on, after Titus overthrew Israel, Israel ceased to exist pretty much as a nation. Okay? Doesn't mean the Jews ceased to exist or the Israelis. They were dispersed all over the world. So for 2,000 years after Rome overthrew Israel, which again, you could really say is a fulfillment of ultimately a judgment of Amos against Judah. Okay? Israel did not exist. Okay, this land went through the Byzantine time. The Turks were in there. Many of the Arab countries were in there also, living in this land and stuff like that. Until the United Kingdom, the Great Britain, Great Empire that conquered a lot of the world, took over this whole region. Okay, it was during that time we're talking about that the Crusades happened. You remember the kings from England would send down their Crusaders and all this stuff. You had the birth over here in Saudi Arabia. You had the birth of Islam about 400 years after Jesus, and the Muslims who followed Muhammad, they went into this region. So this whole region was in conflict and has been in conflict for 2,000 years, with no one really possessing it. Maybe, again, Great Britain would probably be the main one. But in about 19, that's when Great Britain left it. They called it Palestine, and they left it to the Arab groups that were there at that time. 1948 rolls around. We have the persecution of the Jews by Adolf Hitler, by Germany and stuff. You have the United Nations and the group, actually at that time I believe it was the League of Nations, at that time, that made a declaration that they would give Israel a state, a homeland. And they gave them not even as much as they have today. It was just a strip here that they gave Israel, and 1948 Israel became a nation. Again, I would say in fulfillment of prophecy where it said, is a nation born in a day? And the answer is yes, a nation is born in a day. May 14th, 1948, Israel becomes a nation again. And still, we still have the same conflict over and over again. So that's kind of the history of what has happened over there. So, does that kind of answer that, Sunny? Maybe more information you wanted to know?
No, so that's great. So basically the Palestinians are actually Israelis, but they're really not. It was just a mixture.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Palestinians actually come, most of them come in after Israel was made a state. You know, because they are refugees from Jordan and those different areas. Okay? And this, by the way, this place will be a mess and conflict until Jesus comes back again. That's what the Bible says. So, all right, so now let's go back to Amos and let's deal with these declaration that he has against these nations. So we start in verse 6, we'll read to verse 8. We'll deal with one of these at a time. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and the one who holds a scepter from Ascalon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. So, Gaza. What? By the way, again, this idiom that I told you about last week will be used over and over again. For three transgression and for four. What's it mean? It means for a multitude of transgression, God has had it. I mean, they've crossed the line, and God is going to bring judgment. So it's not. You can't go say, well, was there three specific ones or four? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's just saying they have. In each one of these cases, he'll say the same thing. They've crossed the line, and God will bring judgment on it for them. And he will bring judgment on them according to the things that they did. What he says here, the specific one that, if you can put it this way, the specific one that the Philistines did that crossed the line is that they were making slaves. And how they would make slaves is they took certain numbers of the Israelites. They captured them, and they sold them into slavery. Now, Amos tells us that they sold them into slavery specifically to Edom. But they also sold them, and we'll talk about Edom in a little bit, and we'll talk about Phoenicia in a little bit. They also sold them up from here up to this area of Sidon and Tyre, which is, that's Phoenicia. Phoenix. This is Phoenix of their day, okay? And they sold the Israelites into slavery. And because of that, God says that he is going to judge them. And God was going to pour out his fire. And again, we talked about last week that the fire of God speaks of the judgment of God, and that God would bring this upon him. Now, notice the other things that he says that he will do. He says, I will pour my fire upon them. And basically what he says is, the Philistines will be no more. Now, in God's judgment that we're going to see through Amos, at times he completely removes a people from the face of the earth. At other times, he judges a people, but he leaves some of the people in the land. When it comes to the Philistines, I'm going to tell you this. There are no Philistines. There are no Philistines. God destroyed the Philistine nation. Now, remember, this was probably the primary nation that was a thorn in the side of infant Israel. Under Saul, under David, and some of the following ones. It is this group that produced guys like Goliath and Goliath's brothers, which we believe there was at least four other brothers that belonged to Goliath, which is why we talk about David picking up five smooth stones. Okay. That there were at least four. And we know that David killed one. We know that he killed another one later on called Goliath. And we know that one of his mighty men killed another one called Goliath. You know, it was a family name. They were big boys. They could have been a good NBA team, I think, the way they talk about their height and stuff, you know. I don't know how quickly they move, but they could clear out the lane pretty good. So the judgment come upon these places, and I would like for someone to turn to 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 8. And I want you to see that this is one of those prophecies that God fulfilled not too long after this time. There's a king, and he's a nice king, and I've told you before, he's not the smartest king that ever existed in Israel, but... 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 8. And when you get it, if you just read it loudly.
He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. Now in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, king of Syria, came up against Samaria and besieged.
Okay, so what king did God use to fulfill Amos's prophecy? Hezekiah. Okay, and after King Hezekiah, the Philistines are never mentioned again in the Bible. Okay, they're done. It fulfills that prophecy. And the reason that God, the line that they crossed for the last time, and they had multitudes. Remember, the three or four speaks of multitudes of sins. Of rejecting God. But the one that God finally said that I will bring your annihilation is, you have taken my people and you've sold them into slavery. and they're my people. They don't belong to you. Okay? So we have that judgment that is fulfilled by King Hezekiah, literally fulfilled. It's one of those prophecies that we can say, you know, we know when this happened. History tells us when it happened. The Bible tells us when it happened. And we see that there are no Philistines any longer. Okay? Questions or comments on the first one? Now you may be asking, Amos is primarily to the northern nation, but why is God having to judge all these nations? Because God is a just God, and by the way, later on in Amos we'll see a statement that's quite significant. It says that God does nothing unless first he shares it through his prophets. In other words, he gives a message to the prophet, the prophets give the warning. Remember, the prophetic warning is an important thing. Prophetic warning works two ways. If they listen to the prophetic warning, God will stay his hand. If it's a prophetic warning. If it's merely a prophetic utterance, there's nothing going to change it. In other words, like this, they've crossed the line. This is going to happen. Everybody got that? Okay. And if it's a warning and they don't do it, then what the warning, the consequence for not heeding the warning will happen exactly like the prophet said. Again, it's proof that the prophet is from God. But there are two types. There is a prophetic warning, and then there is a prophetic utterance. And again, that just simply means when the utterance comes, it's going to happen no matter what. We read prophecy. We've done Daniel and Revelation in here. Okay, Revelation is a prophetic utterance. It's not a prophetic warning. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, just like he says it's going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that within that utterance, we've talked about that the grace of God is continually bestowed where individuals can come to him. But what's going to happen to the world is going to happen to the world. Nothing's going to change that. Okay? Which why, again, is so important that we be diligent to share the gospel with people when God puts them in our path, because that's what he does. He saves one person at a time. Okay? All right. So now we go on. Any other questions on Gaza? That is this area right now. And by the way, it's still an area of contention, isn't it?
Enemy territory.
It is. You know, and those names that are mentioned there by Amos, those names are back on the map. Okay, down there in the what would be called the occupied territory. Okay, we have some of our church people that are right down there right now. Steve and Natalie Davis are down in that area right now. That's where they're living. They're actually living a little bit closer to Jerusalem, but they're right down in here right now. But you can see the names. There's Ascalon. There's Ashdod that were given there. Okay. Okay. Any questions? All right, so now we go on to the next one, and this is the judgment against Tyre or Phoenicia. That is this area right up here. So we started at the lower part of the coast. Now we're up above this part of the coast. Okay, right below here is some places that are familiar to you in the scripture. Caesarea, that's where Paul went, where he shipped off when he went to Rome. Right above Caesarea is a place called, actually, excuse me, right below Caesarea is a place called Joppa. Okay, Joppa is a place where Peter saw the vision. Joppa is a place where Jonah took off. And Joppa is a place today known as
Tel Aviv.
It's still Joppa, but Tel Aviv.
Yeah, Joppa's right. They're all right there together.
Yeah.
Okay. Right up above here in this area right here is a place called Haifa. Okay, which is a big modern city up there that has nuclear power plants and everything right up there, which is the gateway from the Mediterranean into the Jezreel Valley, which leads to Armageddon and all those things, and eventually over to Galilee. All right, so right now he's going to talk about Tyre and Sidon, which is this area right here, Phoenicia. That's what this place is called right here. Okay, so let's see what he says about them. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, for three, transgression of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and they did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send fire upon the wall of Tyre, which will devour its palaces. Okay? So, here we have the promise of judgment. Now, in the scripture, where do you hear about Tyre or Sidon prior to this? And remember, he says there's a covenant here. What have they done? They've broken a treaty. The word covenant there means a treaty. And what they've done is, they've taken, we just read this, they've taken the Israelites, that the Philistines have taken into slavery, and now Tyre and Sidon have become, or Phoenicia has become, a slave trade people. So they get the slaves from Gaza, and then they turn around and they sell them all over the place. So God says to his prophet, they have broken a treaty. Now, the Bible just works together wonderfully, y'all. So what treaty is he talking about? What treaty in the Bible? Where have you heard of anybody from? Anybody heard of the king of Tyre? Okay. Ezekiel talks about that. And when it talks about he shall bring fire upon them, it's fulfilled in what Ezekiel talks about. And the group that he will use, the Assyrians will come against Tyre, but they will not be able to overthrow the city. But eventually another guy will come along by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he will destroy. That's in fulfillment of what Amos says right here. Okay, how many of you ever heard of Solomon, since no one seems to know about this? Prior to Solomon, there's another guy that was king. Anybody remember his name? David. Hey, yeah, we're there, okay. David had a desire. What was David's desire? You remember what his heart's desire was? He wanted to build that temple. Okay. Now, he could not build a temple because he's a man of blood. God says you can't do it. Your son will do it, but you can't do it. But David began to gather the things that were needed to build the temple. Cedars from Lebanon, okay, and all this area up there today. By the way, that's where, when you say, well, where's Phoenicia and Tyre and all this day? That's Lebanon in today. Whose capital is a beautiful place that you want to spend your summer, called Beirut. Okay? I'm just telling you, you don't want to spend your summer in Beirut. David contracted and entered into a treaty and agreement with a man by the name of Hiram and the king of Tyre. And eventually, remember what happened? They started shipping things out, and what they would do is they would take the beautiful wood, they would put them in the ocean, in the sea, and they would ship them right down the coast to Joppa. And at Joppa, they would take them out of the sea and they would carry them right over to Jerusalem. Okay, this was a great seaport. Okay, and so it was a good place for them to do two things. A good place for them to do what they were doing in the treaty with David, but it's also a good place for them to do in the slave trade because they're right on the sea. Okay, so the treaty that he's talking about here is a treaty that Tyre had with David first, that was continued with Solomon. And you remember, this king actually even sent down not only material, he sent down workers to help Solomon build the temple, skilled workmen who could build the temple and stuff. So there was a treaty between this Phoenicia and Israel, and Israel was never at war with this group of people ever. Okay. But these were the kind of people that, elsewhere we'll read, if you read Isaiah, they're the kind of people that are motivated by money and who are willing to do, by the time we get to this time, willing to do anything for money, even sell human flesh. If you think of it, it really is the scourge of our human history, is it not? That you could actually take precious souls, human flesh, and turn them into merchandise. By the way, it still goes on today. It's a horrible, horrible thing. and unfortunately, a lot of today doesn't have to do so much with slave trade, like even our own nation's history about putting the African American, the black person, into fields and stuff like that. But today, the human trafficking has much more to do with the sex trade and things like it's just horrible. And usually they'll sell them even off the Ivory Coast and stuff like that. They'll sell them as young kids, and they're all over the world. It's a sad thing. It may surprise you to know that some of them are even here in America and they're being sold. It's just sad. It's horrible. So we don't think that we think we're too sophisticated. Those things don't happen anymore, but it still happens. Okay, so that's what God says. You have broken the treaty with my people, and because you have broken this treaty with my people, then I will judge you. And again, the instrument of God's judgment, first the Assyrians, not Syria, but the Assyrians came against them. The Assyrians, God did not allow the Assyrians to destroy them, but after the Assyrian nation, the next nation that comes along is Babylon, the Chaldeans. And God uses Nebuchadnezzar to destroy this area. Okay? All right. Questions or comments on Tyre? You see how that ties in with the scripture and why the judgment that God would put upon them, okay? All right, so now we move on to the next group of people.
Pastor Tony,
yes.
Just to be clear.
Yes.
The covenant was the fact that he started to work on the temple and that wasn't his place?
No. The treaty or the covenant was... That was a covenant. It was established with David, carried on with Solomon, and with several kings after that. In other words, they had a good working relationship. They were allies. Like today, you think about allies. Phoenicia and Israel were allies.
So this wasn't a covenant placed by God?
This was a treaty that they had. But now what has happened is, the very people that they made a treaty with, they're selling them into slavery. And God says, "That I'm not going to have that." All right, so now we come to the next people. And the next people are the Edomites. Okay? And the Edomites, Edom, would be down in this area right here. Okay? Very lower part of Jordan today. Very upper part of Saudi Arabia. Okay? What do you know about Edom? Who are the Edomites?
They wouldn't let the Israelites go through their territory.
Okay. That's exactly right. But also, who was their father?
Esau
was their father. Okay. Now let me just point this out to you. When he talks about both Gaza, okay, what Gaza did, and when he talks about what the Phoenicians did, Edom is in both of those places. So where's one of the primary places that the slaves from Gaza who were taken to Tyre, where were they taken to? And so you have brother enslaving brother. Okay, and you know, as was already said, you remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel through here and stuff, and they come up on this side of the Jordan River, the Edomites would not let them come through. They had to go around. Okay. Also, the Edomites were also guilty of when Israel was going through a very difficult time and they were actually being slaughtered. The Edomites would not answer the call. When they said, "Come and help us, brothers," they said, "No." And God will judge them for that too. Isaiah deals with that judgment of them. Okay. So let's read and let's see what it says. It said, "For three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with a sword." Who is that? Who is the brother? Israel. Okay? Israel. Remember? Esau and Jacob. Esau becomes Edom. Jacob becomes Israel. They're two brothers from the same mother, from the same father. They're twins. Remember? Okay? And the point here is, when the brother needed help, the other brother did not come. And a matter of fact, the other brother actually joined the forces against his own brother. It's a terrible history. Yes, Andy.
Pastor,
There's wars between the tribes when the tribes split from 12 to 12. There's wars between them, even though they're brothers, 12 tribes. There's wars between them constantly.
Yeah, I would say more conflict, a couple times wars. As you read that, there have been a couple times they tried to start wars and God said don't do it and they pulled back. But when you come to the time of King Ahaz of Judah, okay, which is the grandson of Uzziah. So it's two generations. I don't want to say generation because they didn't serve that long when you think about generations. Okay. It is true that at that time the king of Israel at that time, along with the king of Syria, decide they're going to go down against Israel. Ahaz, the king of Judah, was an evil king, and he saw them coming. And instead of relying on the prophet Isaiah said to him, they're going to come against Jerusalem, but I will not give them Jerusalem. You're safe. But instead of trusting God, Ahaz, the king of Judah, he makes connection with the Assyrians. And he sends them gold. He sends them everything from the temple. And says, will you protect us? Even after the prophet said to him, I'll protect you. God says, I'll protect you. Ahaz was an evil king. He did not do what was right in the eyes of God. So that's probably the biggest war that we see there. But there were other times when conflicts were about to start and stuff that God said don't, and they didn't do it. And there were also times when, if you remember, when Ahab was a king, that the king of Judah went up there and helped him. And now he got, it's crazy because Ahab got killed, and then the king of Judah got killed too on the same thing. You know what? You can't... This is better than any history you think. I mean, if you could make a good movie about this whole thing, this is incredible when you look at this. And, you know, it's hard to do it like in an overview like TV wants to do it, but there are so many things going on. It's just amazing. It's just amazing that God could use a people like that. But when I say something like that, I look at myself in the mirror and say, it's just amazing God can use us too. All right? So, he pursued his brother with a sword, and he cast off all pity. He tore his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. I will send a fire on Timnah, which shall devour the place of Bozrah. Okay? So, judgment against Edom is because of its vengeful spirit. Okay? It sought revenge. The Edomites were jealous. According to the prophets, the Edomites were jealous of Israel. There is a city that some of you have visited with me in near Timnah, and it's in the southern part of Jordan today. Okay, it's a beautiful city made in the stone. What's it called?
Petra.
It's called Petra. Okay, that is in the when you read Timnah here, that's Timnah. Okay, not necessarily Petra itself, but the capital city was right there, and the ruins for that capital city are still there. Okay, that's where that city, and so God destroyed and burned that city for His judgment, and the Edomites paid a great price for that. Okay, who did that? The Assyrians did that. Okay, but they were all. It was also completed by Nebuchadnezzar. So it's kind of the Assyrians came through there, then the Babylonians came through there, and the Edomites. You don't really hear too much about Edomites anymore, do you? Okay, today there is no group that we know of called the Edomites. Some people think that the Edomites might be some of the refugees that we might even call the Palestinians today. God didn't say He's going to utterly wipe out the Edomites, but we don't have a historical or a trace thing for them today that I know of. Maybe someone else knows it, but I don't know of. Okay? All right, so we come to the next one. The next group, by the way, notice here, we've been here, and now we're going to move up into here. Okay, which in Jesus' time was called the Decapolis. Remember who was in charge in Jesus' time? Roman. Decapolis means 10 cities. Okay. Again, we've visited some of those. Bet Shan is one of the thing. Also, Jerish over in Ammon that we went to. Okay, Jerish. Yeah. So we've been there. Some Jordanian tried to pick up my daughter in there, and you know, sent her a little thing made out of dough. Shape of a heart. Gave her free water and stuff. And then Dad notices that. Went right in there. So we might have an international incident right here in Jordan. So so
I missed that.
Oh no, it was quite the thing. So Shiloh was probably 24 or 25 at that time, and this guy probably 38 or 39. Nope, that ain't happening. So, all right. So, Ammon, the Ammonites, enemies of Israel. That Ammon is Jordan today. As a matter of fact, the capital of Jordan is called Ammon. It's a modern city. We've been there. Not very colorful city. It was all dingy gray. Everything was built with this dingy gray look, but it is a modern city for that area. The Ammonites were part of that group that were enemies against the Lord, and the God says that he will. Well, let's read what he says. It says, for three transgression of people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with the child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire wall at Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces amid shouting in the day of battle and the tempest of the day of whirlwind. Their king shall go into captivity, and he and his princes together, says the Lord. So, what's he say he's going to do to this group of people? These are people that joined with the Syrians, and they fought against the two and a half tribes. And when he says Gilead, okay, Gilead is this region east of the Jordan River, runs right along here. And you remember when the Israelites came in, two and a half tribes stayed. Reuben, half tribe of Manasseh, and Gad stayed on this side of the river. Remember that? Now remember what Joshua made the men go in and fight and take all this area. And once they did that, he allowed them to go back over here. Okay, so those two and a half tribes lived on that side of the river. That is a place called Gilead. Okay, now, huh? And there is a song, and there is a verse that talks about, is there any balm in Gilead? And that was a healing balm. It was a medical thing and stuff. And by the way, that verse talks about the Gilead was known for the healing things that they could do and stuff there. But the point of that verse is that not even the balm of Gilead can bring the kind of healing that they needed. So, okay? So, His prophecies here, he says, I will kindle a fire against the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. This is God's judgment against the Ammonites. Rabbah was a great city and a capital of the Ammonites in that day. Later on, by the Greeks, it was a place called Philadelphia. Okay? And today, that same city is known as Ammon. So, Ammon is built upon the ruins of two cities. Okay, at least two cities, of course. One is the one that's referred to here. Later on, the Greeks came through and rebuilt it and called it Philadelphia. And then after, when that was destroyed, then you have Ammon that was built there today. Okay, remember that Jordan is a monarchy. They have a king. Okay. The first king that we're familiar with is, and this they got the king after again Great Britain left this area. This was a British province for a long time. Okay, After they left, the king, a man by the name of Hussein. Now, not Sodom, but this king was a pretty good king. Okay, and his son now, you remember, I don't know if you remember that one of King Hussein's wife was a lady by the name of Queen Noor. And she actually was an American. And he married her. And his son now is over there, and his name, Abdullah, King Abdullah, is the king right now. And he's an interesting guy. He seems like a good guy, but he's really you can see, he's in a tight place from everywhere. Okay? They are friendly. They are the most friendly nation with Israel. Matter of fact, Israel sends, if you go right here, in this area right here, it's green. It's the Green Belt. Beautiful place. Things growing there in Israel. Their food galore, just like the prophecy said. And they've shared that technology with Jordan. And so you can look all across the Jordan, you see the same thing going on because they've shared that with them and stuff. Because they have a relatively good relationship with Jordan. But they're also trying to keep relationships with Syria today and with Saudi Arabia today, with Iran and Iraq today. So, Jordan is right in the middle of all this. But if you see a picture of King Abdullah, you look it up on the internet, you'll notice he has the olive-colored skin of a Middle Eastern, but he has blue eyes. And again, he had blue eyes because his mama. You know, she was American and stuff. But that's Jordan today. And that's Amman is the city. Let's just turn to 2 Kings chapter 8 with me, because I want you to look at this. This is going to involve one of the prophets. Now, if it's in 2 Kings, who you think is the main prophet here? Elisha, which means Elijah is gone. Okay, now there's some, 2 Kings chapter 8. And I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, then Elijah went to Damascus. We see where that is. Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria, and he was sick. And it was told him, saying, I think I told you about this last week a little bit. It was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. And the king said to Hazael. Now, Hazael is who? It's the king's son. Okay? Take a present in your hand and go meet the man of God and inquire the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took the present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and he stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? Now, do you see the hand of God on Elisha here? Because this is the king of Damascus. We're not talking about Israelite. We're not talking about the nation of Judah here. We're talking about a Syrian king. And he has respect for the man of God. Okay? And he inquires about the man of God. So look what verse 10 says. And Elisha said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die. Okay? Don't you like messages like that? Yeah, you're going to have a great day, but it's going to be a horrible day too. Well, thank you. Okay? Okay, by the way, well, we'll read what happens. He said, then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. So what's he saying? The man of God, boy, this is one of the. I've had kids tell me, said, Pastor Tony, I wish you'd quit looking at me when you preach. I've had adults say that. I said, I'm not looking at you. I'm just like a picture in an old spooky house. Wherever you go, my eyes are on you. Okay. But this is one of those times when I say Elisha gave Hazael the stink eye. I mean, he focused on him, and until the place that he couldn't, Elisha could hold it no more, and he began to weep. And let's see what happened. And Hazael said, why is my Lord weeping? And Elisha answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. The strongholds you will set on fire, their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open the women with child. So Hazael said, but what is your servant a dog that he should do this gross thing? So he's offended. He doesn't believe this about himself. He couldn't do such a thing. Okay? And Elisha said, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, "What?" Now remember, this is Hazael coming to Ben-Hadad and said to him, what does Elisha say to you? And he said, he told me that you will surely recover. But look at verse 15. But it happened on the next day. So it wasn't, the point is, it wasn't the disease that would kill him. But remember what Elisha said. But you will die. So what happened? But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth, that is, Hazael took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over the face so that he died. And what happened? Hazael ruled in his place. It didn't even take 24 hours. Okay? All right, so what does this all have to do with Amos? Well, the judgment that he's about to bring upon Ammon is a fulfillment of what Elisha saw. And notice the description back here in Amos that when he talks about the judgment, he says, I'm going to look at verse 13. It says, I will not turn away its punishment because they ripped open the women with child in where? In Gilead. Elisha saw this. And God cannot tolerate. And I just got to say it. I know it may irritate some of you, but I'm going to say it anyways. Killing the innocent is never acceptable to God. And the ripping open of the womb and taking a live baby out of the womb or killing a baby in the womb is an abomination to God. I had one guy challenge, said, I challenge you to show me the word abortion in the scripture. I said, would you just quit being so obtuse? He didn't like when I said that, but I said, the word's not there. But over and over and over again, from the beginning all the way to the ministry of Paul and John, you see that God does not tolerate the killing of innocents. And God knows what goes on in the womb. And so he is going to punish this whole nation because of that very thing.
He's right there when it happens.
Yeah, he's very specific about what he says here. That this, in God's eyes, this is horrible. And I personally cannot think of anything more horrible than the killing of innocents. I just can't. You know, and that we become so callous in our nation that it can happen 4,400 times a day. Folks, since the Supreme Court legalized it, we're close to 60 million. 60 million.
And I heard this morning that they say with this new law, pretty soon it'll be the old.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
Okay? Things are already kicking in with the new law and stuff. One of our own, Judy Bushnell, I've shared this with some of you, she is affected by this new law. They've already told her she was on the liver transplant list. The new law that's kicked in has said that in order for her to be on the list, she has to be three times worse than she is now. So they've removed her from the list. But they also told her, even if you got to three times older, because of your age, you're not going to get one. This lady's 54 years old. You know, and you know when you start getting to the place where. We're a lot like Phoenicia in this place. It's about money. It's about productivity. And the highest cost against this nation right now, unfortunately, is you people that are over 65 years old. Sorry.
You can go to Africa. Well,
we can go all over the world, but you understand what I just said? The highest cost for this nation is our retired people. When it comes to Social Security, when it comes to Medicare, when it comes to all of those things. So I guarantee you, and I think some of you might see the day, I think I'll certainly see the day, where older people will become completely expendable. So.
My doctor told me that before I left Memphis, and I left Memphis 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sunday.
I have a question. Maybe not one about Kate, but at this time, obviously, Elijah is very upset because these are Israelis that were being killed, the women and children that were being moved away. They were.
Yeah, I don't know. This particular thing is Israel that this happened to. But the point is, and God will bring, if you read Isaiah, he brings judgment upon those who don't even just kill Israel. By the way, it wasn't just Israelis that they killed over here. Because there were other groups over here that they did this to, too. This was a ruthless group of people that came down out of Syria and did this to anybody they come across. But they did certainly do it to the tribes of Israel that were there, too.
I guess I just get confused because there was parts before in the Old Testament when they were, you know, trying to come to the Promised Land where it was hard for me to understand, where God specifically asked them, I want you to take out everyone.
Yeah.
So I guess I find this confusing because here God is upset because they killed his people,
mm-hmm.
as well as what you're saying, some that maybe we wouldn't consider the chosen.
Right.
But then he knew in this other situation.
And I think, I think that the difference here, if there, and I think there is a difference. First of all, the matter of the judgment of God, and there is a matter of war, and war is not a good thing, no matter what we talk about. But sometimes it had happened. But even in war, there is a civil way to do. It's kind of hard to say a civil way to kill people. But what he's talking about here is what these were so vicious. That it wasn't just a matter of them overthrowing a land. It wasn't just a matter of a war. But they would cut open the ladies while they're alive and take their babies out and kill them before they killed the ladies. It's the brutality part that he's talking about here. I understand your concern about the other. I look at that too. And
it's more just obedience. So it's more the other is just being obedient to God because he knows the end from the beginning.
Right. But there's also the brutality matter because even in our time, we've had people in our age and stuff that have been taken to court. They were military people that have been court-martialed because they were at war, in war people die. But there are such things as war crimes. You know, where someone might cross the line, and clearly they've crossed the line here. It's not just a matter of overtaking a land like Israel did. It is the brutality in which they did it. So, all right, let's look at the last one very quickly, because next week we're going to start with Judah and Israel. This last group is called Moab, and by the way, this is like with the Philistines that no longer exist. You can't find a Moabite anywhere. They don't exist anymore. And here's what it says. For three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palace of Charon. Moab shall die with tumult and shouting and trumpet sounding, and I will cut off the judge from its midst and slay all its princes within him, says the Lord. Now, this is interesting, because he just talked about what he's going to do to the Edomite, God's judgment. So here we go back maybe to what you were saying, Sonny. God does have a judgment, but God sets the bounds of that judgment. And though you or I may be the instrument, or Israel may be the instrument of that judgment, they must stay within the bounds of God's judgment. Clearly the Moabites went beyond this. They not only conquered the king of Edom, but in vengefulness and in rage, it talks about how they burned the bones. They did more. They did it in their own. You know, it's kind of like, if you want to look at it this way, it's kind of like Moses. And what I mean by that, remember when God was going to provide water for Moses? What did he say do? Take your stick and do what to the stone? Hit the stone. Moses took his stick and did what? He hit it twice. Guess what Moses did? He disobeyed God. He tried to do what God told him to do in his own power. And he was punished for it. And that's the essence of even what we're talking about here. God will raise up people. We know he raised up Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? But that doesn't mean they're free reign to be cruel, to be evil, to do those things. And even if God raises up us, we could say this, God chose us and God raised us up to be his own. Okay? But even though we've been brought up by God. If we cross the line, if we try to do it in our own power, we bring consequences upon our own head. That's the principle. Now, this is really bad. This seems more accelerated because we're talking about extreme cruelty. So God gave them victory, gave the Moabites victory over Edom, but he never told them to become so vengeful that it wasn't just a matter of winning the victory. They went in there and they burned the bones. It's just the height of cruelty, and God, that's not what God's about. Okay? So that's what he says he's going to do here. This nation will be ended. Okay? Again, it's brought to extinction. Now, that doesn't mean we don't remember the Moabites, because we have a good feeling at least about one Moabite lady.
Yeah.
And actually, she's actually in the line of Jesus. Ruth. Okay? But unfortunately, the nation turned completely against God and he brought his judgment on. All right? So now we've looked at Amos's proclamations of the judgments against all the nations around Judah and Israel. Next week we'll begin with Judah. He doesn't spend a whole lot of time on Judah, but God has some things to say to Judah. And then most of the rest of the book will be about Israel and how God will deal with Israel. And ultimately, God's judgment of it on Israel. Now let me say this. I think God is still, with Amos, God is still calling out to Israel. Now there could be an argument made that he's already made up his mind. That this is merely for Israel is a prophetic utterance, not a prophetic warning. Well, we'll deal with that. Because there are some offers of grace, I think, and we'll look at that. All right? Any other things we need to share before we go?